and let's work through this. If plan A didn't work, let's go to plan B. If plan B don't work, let's go to plan C. But we got to do something to deal with this lion. We got to do something to deal with this excuse. Excuses set us up to waste time dodging imaginary obstacles. You know, I love the New Living Translation of this verse, and it says that the slugger says, there might be a lion in the street. There might be a lion. So he's not even going to go out. So when you become an excuse maker, that you begin to put up things where you dodge imaginary obstacles. And so it's irrational to allow excuses to keep us from doing the things that we're supposed to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1.
And as I came into this relationship with Christ, and I realized that there are no limitations on what God would have you to do. Now, there might be some limitations in life, that things that we can't do. You know, we can't go out and play in the NBA, right? If we can't jump, if we're not tall, you know what I'm saying? You know, there was a few guys that were 5-something that went out, but they were exceptional. So we realized that there might be some things that physically would limit us. But if God called you to do it, there's no limitation on what it is. You know, and would to God that young people, you know, would realize this, that the only limitations that you are going to experience are the limitations that you put on yourself. That if you will allow the Lord to work in your life and flow through your life, man, the sky is the limit for you with God on your side. Man, other people, and I don't know how many times I've heard this, other people are against me. Other people, you know, I would do something, but the man is keeping me down. Right? I mean, you hear that all the time. But you look at Joseph. He had all kind of opposition. He had opposition from his brothers. He had opposition from Potiphar's wife. He had opposition, you know, even when he was in the prison. Joseph had opposition all the way long. But he rose to the second in command in Egypt. And why was that? Because he had the right perspective. And he didn't let that become an excuse. He didn't let it become an excuse. Well, you know, I was raised in a bad family. People were against me. My dad did this to me, or my mom, she did that to me. You know, again, if you've been in situations where you were abused physically, sexually, you know, whatever, man, you need to deal with that. And that was real for you. And I understand that was real, something that you had to deal with, something that put emotional scars on you, something that did a psychological thing to you. I realize that. And I, you know, I pray for you, and you need to deal with that. But at what point do you just say, I got to rise above this? I got to rise above this. As Joseph, man, can you imagine how emotionally scarred he must have been to have your brothers throw you in the pit and then sell you? But he rose above it. I'm afraid. On the night that Jesus, the night before Jesus was crucified, Peter and all the disciples fled. They were cowards. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Even after Jesus rose and he appeared after his resurrection, what were the disciples doing? They were hiding for fear. But oh, thank God. In Acts chapter 2, Peter went forth and he preached with boldness the message of the gospel. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? For what is your excuse for not doing what God would have you to do? There's no legitimate excuse. We need to realize the difference between an excuse and a reason. An excuse is an illegitimate justification, and a reason is a legitimate justification. That if I have a handicap or if I have an illness, that's a reason why I can't do something. But if I'm just lazy or my priorities are out of place, then that's an excuse. Those things lead me to come up with an excuse. So we need to sit down and we need to ask ourselves the things that we deal with, the things that keep us from reaching the potential that God has for us in our lives, are they reasons or are they excuses? And let me tell you about excuse. Excuses are for losers. Excuses are for losers. Have you ever seen the loser's limp? An ailment or impediment typically manifested through injury that is feigned or exaggerated by a competitor to explain poor performance. You ever see the guy, he's running and out to catch the football, and he's running and it bounces off his hands. He should have caught the pass, right? He should have had it, right? Nothing wrong with him before then, but now all of a sudden, what? Right? That's that loser's limp. And when we think about excuses, you know, we realize that excuses are for losers. You know, what? You know, and I've been doing this, and just thinking about when I get ready to offer a justification for something that I did, I was supposed to do that I didn't do, or something that I should be doing. And I found myself stopping myself and just say, "Come on, Bill, just come on and just be honest. You know, you were lazy. Your priorities were out of line." You know, and so, you know, it's easier to identify, you know, what the root of it is than to go around making excuses. And, you know, I think that, you know, as we make excuses, I wonder sometimes what God thinks, especially when it's something that he told us to do. I wonder if God sits up there and says, yeah. You know, I was reading this thing about kids who didn't have their homework and the excuses that they made. One kid said, "I made a paper plane out of it and it got hijacked." Another kid said, "I put it in a safe and lost the combination." One kid said, "Some aliens from outer space borrowed it so they could study the human brain." Another kid said, "I loaned it to a friend who suddenly moved away." Another one said, "The lights at my house went out and I had to burn it to see the breaker box." And finally, one kid said, "I didn't want the other kids in the class to look bad, so I didn't bring mine." Look, you guys all laughed at that, right? You laughed at it. Why? Because it was absurd. It was ridiculous. And when you think about what God has called us to do and equipped us to do and given us everything we need to do it, and then we make all these excuses, I wonder if God, just like you laughed at those, right? I wonder if God just sits up in heaven and says, "Oh, man, they got to be kidding, man." Yeah, I wonder if that's, you know, again, I know. You know, one of the things I appreciated about the worship today is that we sang a lot of songs about God's love and loving God and God loving us. But I wonder sometimes in his love, if he doesn't look down, you know, kind of with a strange look on his face, say, did they really just say that? did they really just say that? You know, how do you know if you got a loser's limp? How do you know if you got a loser's limp? You know, are you a blame shifter? You know, do you look for other people to blame? You know, if you look at our society today, man, you know, we're putting the blame on other people left and right. Is this person's fault why I didn't do this or I couldn't do that? Instead of just taking responsibility for what it is that we're supposed to do, you know, just go ahead and fess up and take responsibility. And, you know, are you an excuse maker? And what are some reasons for you not doing what you should be doing? So what I want to do is look at the root, because that's what we need to deal with. What we need to deal with here is the root. The excuses are a manifestation of something that's in the heart. And so we need to go right to the root. Now there are two categories of excuses. There are excuses that keep you from reaching your full potential, that if God has called you into the ministry and you have hem-hawed and talked your way out of it, then, you know, that's keeping you from reaching your full potential. And then there are other things that, you know, that you, excuses that you give to cover your incompetencies, right? That when you were supposed to do something and you didn't do it, right, then you come up with an excuse. So there are two categories of excuses. But for sake of this series, I want to focus on that one category right there. And that is things that keep us from reaching our full potential in God. You know, the Bible says, you know, at such time when you should have been teachers, you have need to be taught. You should be a lot further along in your Christian faith. I mean, you should be strong in the Word. You should be strong in the Lord. That's a goal that God has had for you. What excuse do you have that has gotten in the way of being all that God wants you to be? Is it a lack of faith? See, we make excuses when we have a lack of faith. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God called Moses to deliver the Hebrew people out of Egyptian bondage. Now, if God shows up at a burning bush and starts talking to you, then you need to realize that whatever this bush is asking me to do, right, and this is God, then I need to be about doing the business of God. First, Moses, he gives an excuse. He says, I have no ability. In Exodus 3, in verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? God, why are you asking me? Who am I? You know, he's coming up with an excuse to try to back out of it. Lack of faith. Lack of trust. No, notice what else. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I have no ability. No ability. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hear, hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to me. No ability, no authority. I have no authority, Lord. Why are you sending me? You know, there are other people that have more authority than I have. Why are you calling me? Excuse. And then the final excuse, he says that I'm not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. And in verse 10, chapter 4 and verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. My goodness. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And God took all of his excuses away. And Moses was ready to do what God would have him to do. What, has God called you to do something? And you just have come up with excuse after excuse why you can't why you are incapable, why you have no ability. What was that? The root of everything that Moses was saying, his lack of faith and lack of trust in the Lord. Slothfulness. Slothfulness is something that will keep you from doing God's will. That should be Proverbs 26 and verse 13 instead of 23. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. And we've read it. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. What's his excuse? His excuse is there's a lion out there. Why? But what is the root of the problem? The root of the problem is he's lazy. Right? And some of us, you know, are just lazy. We've been sitting on our dusty rustings for so long that it feels uncomfortable to get up and start doing something. Man, I would hate to stand before God and say that I didn't do something and give up all these excuses, and all these excuses go back to the root of me being lazy. Just being a downright sluggard. Right? What's another reason? Misplaced priorities. That when you misplace your priorities and you're not doing what God has told you to do, then you come up with excuses. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 16. Here Jesus is talking about a parable where he's inviting people to this supper. This great supper where you can sit down and be blessed in the kingdom of God. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man gave a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, come, for all things are now ready. Wow. A great supper. Were you invited to come to the supper? But look what it says. It says, and they all with one consent began to make a what? Their priorities were misplaced. Man, God has invited you to this great feast, this great banquet, but you put other things before him. And so now you begin to make excuses why you can't do what God would have you to do. Misplaced priorities. They all at one consent began to make an excuse. And I'm not going to go through it, but if you went through it, they were some of the most lame excuses that you can come up with. And again, I wonder if God doesn't look at us and see the lameness in our excuses. Procrastination. Procrastination will cause you to make excuses. There's a phrase that's used to keep kicking the can down the road. That instead of picking the can up and dealing with it, you keep kicking it down the road. Instead of picking it up and taking care of the situation, you keep kicking the can down the road. And then you keep giving reasons why you can't. In the past, I put little Christmas decorations up in my yard, right? And in the past, my decorations have been up way into the month of January. Right? And I keep saying, oh, man, I'm kind of busy right now. Or, I don't have the energy. And so I'm studying for this message, right, yesterday. So guess what? Those bad boys are D-O-W-N. Down. Right? But I was coming up with all kinds of excuses why they were out there. Why Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus was out there in the middle of January. Right? Procrastination. But when you think about what procrastination does, it leads to excuses. We find all kinds of excuses why we can't do what we're supposed to do. In Proverbs 6, verses 6, he says to the sluggard, go to the ant and look at the ant, how the ant prepares ahead of time so that the ant is not caught off guard because preparation has been taking place. Lack of discipline. That when you don't have discipline, you begin to make excuses in your life. And then just stinking thinking, right? Some people just got stinking thinking. And they find a reason to blame other people. They find a reason why they shouldn't do this or find an excuse why they shouldn't do that, right? Just stinking thinking. And so you can't hang around those people too long because you'll start thinking like them. The next thing you know, you're making excuses for what it is that you're supposed to be doing. As I close the message this morning, one day, now, let me do a teaching real quick, about a one-minute teaching, because I've heard people say that when I stand at the great white throne, now, I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being at the great white throne, because the great white throne deals with people who are unsaved, and they're actually on their way into eternal damnation. So I'm not standing at the great white throne. Now, what I am standing at is the judgment seat of Christ, and that one day I will have to stand before Christ. And notice this, I'm not going to have to give an account for my sin, but I have to give an account for my stewardship. See, the people at the great white throne, they got to give an account for their sin. That's what they're giving account for. But my sins have already been accounted for in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My sins have been accounted for in Jesus Christ. So when I stand before Christ, I'm standing at the great white throne. And I'd hate to stand there and come into accountability for my stewardship of all the things that God wanted me to do, and then to stand there and begin to give excuses why I didn't do what God wanted me to do at the judgment seat of Christ. No, you're not going to go to hell because you didn't do the things that God wanted you to do. You know, your salvation is secure in Christ. But he does talk about in 1 Corinthians 3 that you will have a loss of reward. I don't know about you, but you know, to me, I mean, I'm sure we can all agree in some shape or form that we haven't all done what we're supposed to do. Right? And I know that I haven't done everything that I'm supposed to do. But would to God, man, I pray that I've done the best that I can. And if when you give the best of your service, telling men the Savior has come, be not dismayed if they don't hear you, for he'll understand and say, well done. Yo, I want to hear from God the way I like my steak when I go to the restaurant. I want to hear, well done. And if I'm standing there with a bunch of excuses, yeah, I'm saved, and I am going to go into heaven. But I'm not going to get all that God had for me to get. More than conquerors. If we're going to be more than conquerors, we got to learn how to overcome being excused.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire 9-part series of More Than Conquerors is made available by request either by phone at 877-831-5060 or by visiting our website, anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.